go into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, we are off peak week, and that's not a good thing. Replaces Masters Week. That sure as hell ain't a good thing. Got to overcome it. Flatline this thing out. And turn the page. A lot of stress, trying to do our best here over the next couple of hours to alleviate that. That's what we do. A little bit of a diversion, a lot of things happening in the world of sports. I think it's headed towards a positive direction. All right, we talked about the PGA Tour yesterday. They made a couple of announcements. They gave us some dates. We're going to get the Memorial in mid-June. There'll be no fans, but still, looks like it's going to be the first live sporting event. Outside of what Dana White is doing, I mean, he's actually building a facility right now on an island. For those of you who deal with things in the cage, when it comes to the mixed martial arts or UFC. Anyway, we'll get to that in the proper time. Bring my buddy Charlie Jimerson on. And we'll do the takedown. But, you know, the Masters, we know mid-November, we will be without a British Open this year for the first time since 1945. That's a huge blow. Of course, last night should have been the national championship game in college basketball. But the PGA Tour's got some things rolling. We got dates for the PGA Championship. We have dates for the United States Open, all right? PGA Championship, the week of August 6th. United States Open, week of September 17th. The Masters. 126 yards away. Looks like he's got a 3-iron there, RJ. You know golf, don't you? You know you can't use a 3-iron from 126 yards away.
Absolutely not.
All right. I didn't know. I'm just trying to figure things out, man. I feel like, you know, with all this social distancing and everything. I mean, you and I basically do everything but hold hands. I mean, we're close.
We are.
You know, I'm just trying to figure out if you know club per distance. Would you be a good caddy?
I would be a good caddy.
Okay.
Give me a shot, Rick.
A 3-iron from 126 ain't a good caddy, but that's what I said. How about a 9-iron?
Yes?
For those really strong out there, they'll say, now, Ballew, give me a pitching wedge. You know? And I actually said this to a couple of buddies I played golf with the other day. I was testing wind, and they were looking at me. You know, you throw the grass up, and what I told them is that I never learned this on the golf course. I learned this as a sideline reporter for the Jacksonville Jaguars, where I got to throw the grass up into the air to try to find out which direction that wind is blowing. Are we getting a swirling wind? Are we getting it moving north to south or east to west? I'll ask Josh Lambeau. I used to ask Jason Myers. Sometimes they don't want to talk. Sometimes they'll just give me a real quick sentence. Other times they'll be pretty elaborate.
So you're getting all the tips and tricks from everyone when it comes to the golf game.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, listen, it could be like Jaguars and Wembley. You get that little hole in the roof. You don't know what's going on with the wind. And people may be thinking, well, Blue's going to report here on the Jaguars broadcast radio team about how the wind is blowing, in what direction, how's it going to affect Joshua. But we're in reality, what I'm really doing is just storing that in my head for when the next time I get out in a golf course, how it'll affect me when I go from tee to green.
That's exactly what we're trying to do here. We're not concerned about stuff like that. We're more concerned about more important things.
That's just a Sunday job for me. I mean, I punch in and I punch out. Everything, though, I store away, again, as a weekend hacker. But anyway, back to the PGA Tour. They gave us some good news. Now, Major League Baseball got a little bit ahead of the curve, no pun intended. But I kind of love this community. Let's set it up. Let's play in Arizona. Okay, let's get everything going and bring in all 30 teams. The rules that are in place are unlike anything we've ever seen before. But America needs it. America needs sports right now. They really do, and they're going to need it, you know, let's say by June. Major League Baseball, they're forecasting, you know, May as a best-case scenario. As I said, I am trying to be as positive as I can every night. Baseball is all about crybabies. and they have a tremendous union. And I'll be really surprised if the MLBPA allows that, okay? They're going to step up, and they're going to cry, and they are going to whine. So I love the report from Jeff Passan. I enjoyed seeing it last night. I spent a lot of time really going back and forth today. I actually talked to a good friend of mine out in St. Louis who's a huge baseball guy. And it sounds like a great idea, but I still think we're putting the cart ahead of the horse, if you will. Still, though, I mean, that's three in a row. That's Trump over the weekend, our president, telling us the NFL will start on time. That's the PGA Tour yesterday announcing some dates. And it is now Major League Baseball talking. Hey, listen, I'm a rock and roll fan. The Eagles announced their dates beginning again in September. Now, I know that that's a long ways away, but consider that for a moment. We don't know if football is going to include fans. We just talked about the PGA Tour. That's not going to include fans. Major League Baseball, if they do play out in Phoenix and throughout Arizona and bring in all 30 teams, I mean, they're going to expand rosters. They're not going to have the umpire right behind home plate. You're going to have Quez-Tech. You're not going to be allowed to have meetings from the catcher and the pitching coach out at the mound. I mean, they're going to change everything. They're not going to have dugouts. It's too close to one another. You're going to be 6 feet apart, actually, in the stand. So if we get baseball in May, it'll be without fans. I got news for you. The Eagles are not going on tour without fans. Okay? They're a Hall of Fame band, one of the great American bands, one of the great Los Angeles bands of all time. RJ, did you know that Don Henley and Glenn Frey once shared a home with Jackson Brown, and they got their career started as backups to Linda Ronstadt?
I did not know that.
Oh, man, it's the type of things you get here. You want to put me on late at night? I'm going to give you those type of facts.
Of course.
All right? That's what you get into the night with Rick. But the Eagles aren't going on tour with no fans. Okay? We're pumping sunshine. We're pumping positivity. I can feel it. Things are getting better. Who's in? Hopefully you are. All right. Yannicka Ngakoue has blown a gasket. And that is where we're going to go tonight. It's hot. It's working. It's such a major disappointment for a young man that I have tremendous respect for. As I've said many times over, I did a show with him right here on the home of the Jaguars, 1010XL and 92.5 FM, 2 years ago with T-Wig and with Joe Cowart. He has been the consummate professional, extremely intense, on the field, on the sideline. The motor's always running, practices hard, plays hard, and has handled himself about as wonderfully as anyone could, even after what did happen a year ago. But my God, is he completely gone 180 on us. And he's doing everything now to ask himself out that front door. And he went on the NFL Network, that actually was on ESPN, their NFL segmented show today, and doubled down again. More comments about why he wants out of Jacksonville. And, you know, at least it was the first time. As I said, I've reached out to Yannicka Ngakoue. I've reached out to Yannicka Ngakoue's agent, and I have been stonewalled. I have been given the Heisman in every attempt. And I have always felt that I've had a good relationship with him. I don't think it matters. I think at this point, he saw Adam Schefter. He saw the national landscape. I think he is doing everything that he can, at least right now publicly, to avoid what is going on locally. So he did this once again, and it still begs the question as to what are the Jags going to do? And if they're going to make a move, well, it would be best served in the next 2 weeks and 2 days. Are the Jaguars really going to move him for the, you know, to the New York Giants? Can the Jaguars really fetch a first-round pick? How much of this is on the Jaguars as an organization? Tom Coughlin got all the blame. Tom Coughlin's no longer here. The biggest mystery, again, to me, remains why this has not been able to be a situation that was repaired. If the right offer was extended, I don't know what the numbers have been. But, you know, seems like I say it 2-3 times a week. Dave Caldwell, 3 times when he spoke, the only 3 times that he has spoke to the Jacksonville media, he said that he expected to get back Yannick Ngakoue. It was the number one priority. Again, he did it during the New Year's Eve presser. He did it at the Senior Bowl, and he did it at the NFL Combine. And I can't figure out what went wrong as far as the communication, the lack thereof. Was it a change of heart? Remember that whole scenario where it looked like Yannick Ngakoue was looking for a new agent, and there were rumors that he had fired him. Then all of a sudden, along with Leonard Fournette, then all of a sudden he was back with him. We don't know, and those questions were not asked today. Okay, about that. It was about what he wants to do, talked a lot about culture. We'll play some of these comments for you here coming up after our first break if you didn't get an opportunity to hear from Ngakoue a little bit earlier today. I thought it was basically a job interview for Yannick Ngakoue. And I came away disappointed, obviously, because I want to see him remain here in Jacksonville. And for the record, I think he will remain here in Jacksonville. Even after today's announcement on ESPN, an interview on ESPN, I still believe when push comes to shove, by the slightest margin, I'm talking 51-49, I think Yannick Ngakoue plays for the Jaguars in 2020. I really do. Now, I said by the slightest of margins. I'm not going to come back here and tell you that I'm completely shocked if, in fact, he is traded, if they can acquire the right value. But again, it goes back to what we talked about yesterday and what Pete Prisco said last week right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. The Jaguars meet his demands and trade away another very talented, disgruntled player. What does that really say now about this organization? I mean, there's a lot of faith that has been put in Dave Caldwell, a lot of faith that has been put in Doug Marrone. Shad Khan made the comment that those two give this organization the best chance to win right now. The faith and the trust is in those two. It's never about Marrone. With Jalen Ramsey, it was not about Marrone. With Yannick Ngakoue, it is not about Marrone. And I'm not saying it's about Caldwell. I have no proof that anything with the Jalen Ramsey trade was because of Dave Caldwell. I do not know that. I'm under the impression that it was all Tom Coughlin. I do not know that there has been a rift between Caldwell and Yannick. I don't know that. My assumption the entire time was it was Yannick and Tom Coughlin. This is where it gets confusing for me, and I got to imagine it gets very confusing for you as a Jaguars fan. So let's settle in with that. We'll play some of the clips from Yannick coming up on the other side. As always, give you a great opportunity to get in right here on this Tuesday night. Best way to do so is on our text line. That's 641-1010. Also on Twitter, Ballou, B-A-L-L-O-U, 1010XL. We'll take some calls tonight if we get some good ones. I mean, usually you're 100% on. But I understand that you're stressed, and you got a lot of things going on, so maybe you're not 100% right now. If that's the case, that's fine. Just sit back and listen. But if you want to bring it, we'll grab some calls. Again, only good ones tonight. 641-1010, that is the phone number. So let's kick it off. It's a Tuesday night. My name is Rick Ballou. This is 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Let's go into the night with Rick Ballou on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
All right, Tuesday night are for the freaks. They all come out. The ladies of Helmets and Heels set the table. Leave the place spotless. And then enter the truth teller. What is going on with Yannick Ngakoue? How in the hell have the Jaguars gotten themselves in this situation once again? I mean, last week, Doug Marrone met with the media, and he came out and he discussed how he wanted no drama. He wanted everyone on the same page. Last year was just a disaster. I mean, it was. It was just one thing after another. And, you know, I honestly didn't think that anything like that would happen. And it did. It began with Telvin. Telvin had followers in that locker room. And the Jalen situation was so toxic. But Yannick Ngakoue was the total pro. But boy, has he ever turned. And he is now doubling down, and he's doing it in the media. He's doing it by himself on social media. And now today finally goes on ESPN and has a lot of things to say about why he wants out of Jacksonville. One of the best parts of the interview, I thought, was Yannick Ngakoue asked about, you know, what happened? Why do you feel this way?
What happened between me and Jacksonville is very simple. The organization had the opportunity to keep me long-term last offseason, and things kind of broke off. So, you know, everything happens for a reason, and not everything lasts forever. Things come to an end, and it's time for me to move on to the next chapter of my career, and I'm forever thankful for what Jacksonville has brought to me and my family, but it's time to move on.
You know, Albert Breer reported, and we had him on. I had him on when he wrote that, and I'll have Albert on again, but he was the one who said it was Tom Coughlin who broke off negotiations. It led to an 11-day holdout by Yannick. And I know this is redundant, but it still is a question that I believe you as a Jaguar fan want an answer to. Because don't you feel now, because of this story, that the Jalen trade is now kind of incomplete? I mean, we all assumed it was Tom Coughlin. That was the assumption. We saw Jalen lose his mind, you know, run into Marrone, and they had an altercation, and Marrone had to do what he did. He would have lost the team. And Marrone responded the way that he did, but Jalen, you know, came out and said time and again, this has nothing to do with Marrone, even though during that situation, Marrone elected not to challenge a play that was called a reception. Jalen thought it was incomplete. And again, it reeked of selfishness. It didn't feel like, hey, this is Jalen doing the right thing for the team. It felt like this is on Jalen's numbers as a cover corner. That's just the way that it felt. It was a 3-yard reception. So it was pretty selfish. And, you know, looking back on Jalen now, that was Jalen Ramsey. A very selfish player. A very selfish individual. And, you know, that really turned for me, because I always looked at him as really a consummate team player. The guy played 3 different positions in 3 years at Florida State. He started as a true freshman when they won a natty. Remember him crying on the bench here in Jacksonville because he wasn't used to losing. And at that point, I looked at him and I was like, wow, what a great team player he is. You know, his paycheck is clearing regardless if the Jaguars win or lose. He was openly bawling on the sideline. And he played hurt, and he was a tough nut. He was physical. But taking the 3 games off the way that he did, he put himself far ahead of the team. And he's not the only one. Okay, that happens all the time in athletics. I've never seen that with Yannick Ngakoue. Okay? Yannick's a very high-strung guy, which you want on your defense. He's a type A guy. And frankly, they've lost too many type A guys. Aaron Colvin was a type A guy, massively. He chirped louder than anyone on that defense outside of Jalen Ramsey, another type A. Kelvin, oh my God, he never shuts up. Another type A. I mean, you've lost a lot of players like that. I'm not talking about, you know, obviously they've lost a lot of great football players. Kawhi is kind of a silent leader. Marcel Darius, kind of a silent leader. Malik Jackson, kind of a silent leader. Barry Church, silent leader. Gibson was spotty. Boye, not overly vocal. But Colvin, Posluszny, didn't say much at all. Miles, getting more vocal. And believe me, I'm the sideline reporter. I'm right there. I see what happens. But Aaron Colvin couldn't shut him up. Jalen can't shut him up. Kelvin, never going to shut up. Yannick Ngakoue was, I like to define him as kind of moody. Okay, you get on the wrong side of Yannick Ngakoue, I mean, he's going to go crazy. But he was consistent in the fact that he was 110% all the time. The motor was always running. He listened to others. Going back to when Marion Hobby was the defensive line coach when he was a rookie. He listened to veterans like Calais Campbell. This is all new. I'm having trouble identifying with what he's doing now, but he's making a statement. Get me out of here. And the only way that he believes that he can get himself out of here is to take advantage of every opportunity that he has, which to this point, I guess is incorrect. I shouldn't say it that way, because he's done everything on social media. And he said no to interviews. Again, I've tried to reach him. I tried to reach his agency. This one hurts. If you haven't heard it, brace yourself. Yannick Ngakoue asked today on ESPN what type of team he wants to join.
Well, I'm not really sure what team I will be landing at, but what type of team that I would love to join is a team that has great culture. I really want to be a part of a team that has great culture, and winning is a habit. I don't want to be part of a team where losing is a norm or anything of that nature. I want to be part of something special. Also, I just want to go to a place where the community, I can make a great impact in the community and just reach out to younger people that look up to me.
All right, there's been a lot of criticism on both parts of that. The final part, I don't get into personal lives and what they do charity-wise. I know that some have been pretty outspoken. Well, why didn't he do things here? I remember doing, again, a radio show with him 2 years ago. There were times where Yannick Ngakoue mentioned things that he was doing with charities. So you got to fact check a little bit on that. I think that's unfair. Now, the message still stings. I got it. Because, I mean, we're going through a freaking pandemic, and you have this man saying, I want to go to a place with great culture, and I want to go to a place where, you know, the folks love me, and I can identify with these fans, and I can help out within the community. I mean, come on! I was on the sideline during the final game where they were saying, pay Yannick, or whatever the hell they were saying. And these fans will turn on you. I mean, they're only human. I saw him turn on Nick Foles last year. I saw him turn on Tom Coughlin. I saw them turn on Jalen Ramsey. I mean, fans are going to turn. And when you bend over backwards and you love a guy, and then you turn around, you make comments like that, yeah, man, it's going to hurt. That whole culture, wasn't he a part of that culture? Wasn't he a huge part of that culture when they were winning and they went to an AFC championship game? And his role expanded? They moved Fowler? He got more snaps. He played 75% of the snaps last year, and he missed a game. That sounds like an easy way out for me. That's not something that you should publicly say. To me, what he delivered there was, Jacksonville accepts losing. I want to go to a place where the culture is different. You know, you kind of want Dave Caldwell right now to trade him to Oakland, to trade him to Miami, trade him to Cleveland. I just don't like that. Jalen didn't care where he went. He just wanted out. Now Unique's saying, yeah, I want out, but it's got to be this way. I want to play for a winning team. I want to play with this a great culture. There's no guarantee that that's going to change. You know what fixes the culture? Is winning. Just think right around here. Think about when Muschamp was at Florida and before Jim McElwain was a serial liar at Florida. What did you hear? The culture sucks. What did you hear at the end of the Jimbo Fisher tenure at FSU during that final year? And when Willie Taggart got on board for a year and a half, what do you hear? The culture is awful. Well, what have you heard here now? Really, since September, let's go early October of 2018. Because as great as the playoff run was, I thought September of 2018 was one of the greatest times to be in this city. And we all were fooled. But they started off 3-1. They beat the Patriots. Their only loss was 9-6 home here against Tennessee. And you were 3-1 in the month of September, and everyone was drinking that Kool-Aid. It felt good. And then they started losing. I have to look back. I want to say they lost 7 straight. And you knew Bortles wasn't the answer, and I don't have to rehash it for you. You know it. A lot of injuries. But what did we start to hear? The culture is bad. The only thing that fixes culture is winning. Where is there a good organization that has a great culture that loses? Please. I mean, wide open text line, 641-1010. Please give me an example. I'll read it. Inform me. I'd like to know. Now, there are examples of you heading in the right direction. Absolutely look at the San Francisco 49ers. They were 4-12, and we heard some good things. San Francisco's heading in the right direction. They're drafting right. They're doing the right things in free agency. Bam. They increased their win-loss record by 9 games in 1 year. They went from 4-12 to 13-3 in 1 season. Made it to the Super Bowl. So, okay. But there's a difference there. The expectations in San Francisco were zip, were nothing. The expectations here, the exact opposite. You had just gone to an AFC Championship game, September of 2018, you were 3-1 and playing lights out. Go back and dig up the power rankings from September of 2018. Look at where the Jaguars were. Even this past year, after they got Foles, and they're going to get healthy. You know, people weren't guaranteeing playoffs, but they were absolutely saying that they would be competitive in the AFC South. All right. More from you on this. Actually, I haven't really gotten to you yet. I will now here on the other side. I need to. This is a huge decision for the organization. And it's going to be, you know, what's kind of disappointing about this is I've been bringing on a ton of draft analysts over the last 2+ months. kind of slowed down on that because Unique is pulled in front of what the Jags are doing with their 12 draft picks. And honestly, I still think it's going to be the premier story, even over number 9 and number 20 in the first round. So it's going to be busy around here. You know, it is. This team has a chance to, again, just look at San Francisco. 4 wins a year ago. This league is built to turn things around quickly. This isn't Mississippi State of the SEC. Okay? Florida State's not going to be down for a long time. They're going to come back. Is Mike Norvell the guy? We'll find out. Florida didn't stay down for a long time. They made 2 mistakes. They got a guy now in Dan Mullen. College football takes a little bit longer. The NFL, it should take you a year, maybe 2. That's why this league is based the way it is. That's why we have a salary cap. The Patriots, that 20-year run, you're never going to see anything like that ever again in the NFL. Never. That's the way, that was the exception to the rule. All right, let's grab some response from you. 641-1010 on the text line. Glad you're with us on this Tuesday night. I'm Rick Ballew. This is 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, with you tonight till 10. No Sports Den on Tuesday. Tomorrow night, 7 to 9, Sports Den to follow. Then back to our regularly scheduled hours, 6 to 8, Thursday, Friday, and Monday. The 5097 says, Ballew, we had a great culture under Gus. Solid. It's a good point. It's a very good point. I asked for a moment ago. To me, culture defines winning and losing. And I asked for an example of a team or teams out there where the culture's good, but you're not winning. It was different with Gus for a couple of reasons. And I don't want to waste my time here. I only get a couple of hours, waste time, and go back deep into it. But it was such a bad roster. The 1 year with Mike Mularkey, and then when Gus took over, it was an awful team, and it was in serious rebuild. And Gus, you know, listen, Gus coached his ass off. That man gave 110% every single day. The fact that he didn't have a solid roster, and that wasn't Dave Caldwell's fault at the time. That was a leftover situation from Gene Smith. And he was the first-time head coach who was overmatched. He was in over his head. It was a very friendly organization at the time where it didn't feel like winning was the ultimate goal. It was about getting better. And I think the players saw that. I think everyone in the organization saw that. Just little things. Like, I've given you this example before. I'd walk around. They have Gatorade coolers all over the place. During the Gus Bradley era, I would grab a Gatorade. I never once considered that during the Marone Coughlin era. It was a totally different building. And it's something as stupid as that. Okay? Because for those of you who don't know, the beat reporters work out of the building. On their side, and I'm in there 3-4 days a week, including during my Jaguars radio broadcast meeting, and just simple little things like that. That's the difference between kind of an easy building, even though you're losing, and a totally hard-ass building. When, you know, Marone, and I thought Marone actually is more of a player coach, and I really gave him credit for being. You know, I've seen that. The 1680 says, Coughlin leaving his mark well after his departure. That is what happens when you give the guy all the power to an outdated, archaic, old-school guy with today's athlete. Times have changed, and Coughlin wasn't willing to change, which is the reason why we lost major talent and in the position we are in today. a lot of that is true, but Tom Coughlin deserves credit for the tremendous success of 2017. What hurt Tom was he had everyone in that building, including his players, following the rules, and Tom himself didn't follow the rules. And I know that that's football, and that's been football forever. But little things like, you know, the Jared Odrich situation and caused letters from the National Football League Players Association. You look at the grievances that were filed, asking guys to come in from other parts of the country during their offseason to get medically checked on their rehabilitation with an injury. That, you know, what he said during the State of the Jaguars address really ruffled a lot of feathers. You know, Jalen didn't want to be here for voluntary workouts. Again, right now there are people listening that are saying he should have been there. Okay, yes, I understand that. I'm old school. I played high school football for a coach who thought that if water was on the field, you were a sissy. I'm as old school as they come. But I think I've been smart enough to become a chameleon and change with the times. I change everything that I have done. The only thing I will never change, RJ Saunders, is what?
You'll never say the word narrative?
That's... I change the books I read, the clothes I wear, the golf courses I play. What is the only thing I will not change?
You'll never not tell the truth.
Well, that's a given. No. I will never change the music that I listen to.
Never?
No.
Not even a little bit.
Hey, listen, you want to bring in Pantera like you just did a little while ago? I love it. I'll settle in with that stuff. I love it. It's great. But I'm an old, old classic rock, 60s, 70s. You know, I like the 80s. I love my music. I don't need new music, but I need new everything else. I change with everything else. I, whether it's, you know, Ozark or Tiger Cat, whatever show. I mean, I watch them all. I love entertainment. Movies, books, TV series. You name it, I'm in. Change with the times. Coughlin changed with the times in New York after Strahan called him out, after Tiki Barber wigged out. Coughlin changed here. I saw a much nicer Tom Coughlin second time around. Absolutely. Anyone who tells you differently is wrong or didn't have conversations. Now, I wasn't behind closed doors. I don't know what happened with him and Unique. I don't know what happened with him and Jalen. I don't know what was said or overruled in the midst of Marrone and the staff and the players and how things went as far as the reporting from Caldwell to him. And I don't know any of that stuff. No one does, except for those directly involved. But to say that Tom Coughlin did not change, Tom changed. He just... When push came to shove, he went back to some old school methods. And I just gave you the examples of those. You can't hold everyone accountable for doing things the right way. And then you cut corners yourself. Even though his intent was to make this football team better. He wanted to bring these players in to get them medically rechecked. You know, they may have been out in California. Who knows where they are? They're gone. You know the way today's football is, man. Today's rosters turn over 30 to 40% a year. It's unbelievable. I mean, it's really gross. Today's football in the turnover... He's talking about the passing of Al Kaline last night. Guy spent 22 years in Detroit. Mr. Tiger. I miss that. I'm watching Cal Ripken right now break the record, consecutive games record streak. Spent his whole year in whole career in Baltimore. By the way, for the record, I have always said this, and I really got criticized for it back when it happened. But I thought that Cal Ripken was incredibly selfish to play consecutively day in, day out. He hurt his team more than he helped it. Everyone needs a day off. Baseball's a lot of wear and tear. And giving you 162 a day, year after year after year, doesn't work that way. I thought he was selfish. But I know this is a football town. Get off baseball, Blue. There's the whole world saluted him. And look at his numbers. They dipped towards the end. He wasn't nearly the same player. Take a day off. Forget about the record. But I just want people to understand that with Tom Coughlin. He made mistakes. But just in passing, I don't know, maybe some of that was because Tom wasn't available to the media anymore. When I was on the ball, when I first got here in 96, a lot of you are entertained in a very difficult time because there's a crisis going on. But there are a lot of people who are entertained by the way that President Trump treats the political reporters. Tom Coughlin, they used to fly off the handle here and there in the mid-90s, including to yours truly. Now, not as much to me as, let's say, Prisco. But it happened. And you know what? I never saw that with Gus. Never saw that with Mike Mularkey. Never saw that with Jack Del Rio. Marone puts his feet in the ground and is very transparent. And I have seen him be challenging. I think he's outstanding with the media. But there were just times where I remember having this conversation. This was long before the NFL Network, when I used to have a pretty good relationship with Mike Silver. And it was before a playoff game. And, you know, they brought in plenty of the national media. And Coughlin got upset about something. And I remember just because I had used to have Mike Silver on my show a lot back in those days. And he just came right on and said, I asked him, he said, I've never seen – what did he not learn from Bill Parcells? By the way, Parcells was totally like that. Bill Parcells had one of the greatest lines I ever saw when I was, I'm trying to remember where I went. I went to it might have been Florida State, Georgia Tech on a Saturday. I think that's at Bobby Dodd. And then it was the new Georgia Dome. It was probably 92, 93, something like that. Might have been the year Marvin Jones got hurt and Charlie Ward had the quarterback comeback in 92. Folks, sometimes these things just run together. But I went to a Falcons-Patriots game. And the Falcons beat the Patriots. And I was credentialed along with my brother, and we went into the Patriots locker room. This was before the Jags were even around. I was working in Tallahassee. And Bill Parcells got real snooty with the media because they lost. And I remember his comments about the defense. He says, today we were friendly. We were slow and friendly defensively. And that was one of the greatest lines of all time. But I remember Mike Silver just came right. He's like, why is Tom snapping at the media? And, you know, especially back then in the mid-90s, you didn't have any of these internet people. You had a couple of radio stations, a couple of TV stations. You had the Times Union, and that was it. And I think you had a pretty fair, pretty, you know, easygoing media. Not a contrarian, can't wait. You know, there are people in Boston where I am from, in Chicago where I spent 7 years, okay, that seriously, they like it better when the teams lose. It's better for them to sell newspapers and now today get clicks and get ratings on sport when the team loses. It was, I don't think there's ever been a reporter like that in this city. If so, by all means, send me that. Certainly no one on these stations. And I'm not saying that they're, you don't have to be a big fan of the Jaguars. But it's one thing to openly want them to lose. You get that in major cities. Hell, I grew up reading Dan Shaughnessy 3-4 days a week. Dan Shaughnessy is the only guy in Boston who's got a smile when the ball went through Buckner's legs. That's just the way it is. Still have a lot of respect for Dan Shaughnessy. I mean, one of the very best of all time. All right, long-winded on that, but, you know, Tom made mistakes. He did. And what we don't know the answer to is if the NFLPA did not come out with that letter filled with the grievances, would Tom Coughlin still be here? I mean, has anyone ever asked that question before? Shad seems like he's a pretty loyal guy. He kept Dave around. He kept Doug around. Why would we believe that he wouldn't keep Tom around? He had to dismiss him after the National Football League Players Association came out with a letter that basically said, if you're a free agent, don't consider Jacksonville. All right, much more on this. More of your response, I promise. Got a ton of reaction tonight on the text line. 641-1010, the best way to get a hold of me. I'm Rick Ballew.
Let's go into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
All right, we love late nights here on Tuesday. We do. Rick Ballew, producer RJ Saunders. The freaks are out on Tuesday. At least they used to be. I mean, Tuesday, isn't that a big night? Isn't that like ladies' night? Tuesday night's like a big divorce night. The daddy gets the kids on Tuesday, if not on Wednesday. So typically there's a lot of ladies out at assorted restaurants and bars dangling for a new man.
I thought that was Friday night, though.
No. In the state of Florida, no. The women gets the kids on a Friday.
What?
You may get him every other weekend. You may get him midweek, Tuesday or Wednesday. Yep. I think you'll see that, though, typically. A lot of cocktail dresses, a lot of sundresses. You know, listen, I haven't, you know, for those in the hunt, for those out there hunting.
Right. But normally they say Saturday is for the boys. Friday night, normally, you know, like ladies' night.
See, that's Saturday for the boys. That's all Barstool. That's all like Generation Z. That's like, what, 3-4 years old? That was not the saying when I was in high school or college. Every night was for the boys.
Every night.
Yeah. Or the girls.
I mean, this came out maybe 2 years ago.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's kind of new. They're tomorrow's leaders. Maurice Jones-Drew was on earlier today on the Frangie show. And, of course, MJD, busy guy now, color analyst out in L.A. Believe he's with the – I think he's with the Chargers, not the Rams. Maybe wrong. Last time I talked to MJD was actually in London when he was there for the Jags game doing live coverage there. But I always enjoyed Maurice Jones-Drew. I always thought he was very outspoken. Of course, he's still with the NFL Network, and MJD today asked about what the Jaguars should do when it comes to Yannick.
Well, I really feel like it shouldn't have gotten to this position, this point, to be honest with you guys. I think there's a lot of players, when you draft a lot of young talent like the Jaguars have or had, you don't let those guys go out of the building. You know, Dante Fowler signed plays lights out for the Rams the last couple of years, signed a big deal with Atlanta. He was one of your first-round picks. Obviously, Jalen Ramsey's gone. Allen Robinson's another one. You know, you have to find a way to keep your talented players if you expect to build a consistent winner.
All right, that was earlier today, MJD, on the Frangie show. So, you know, this goes back to what Prisco said last week. this is not a positive note for the Jaguars. And it is one of the major reasons why I continue to believe when this is all said and done, Yannick Ngakoue is going to play this year for the Jags. Allen Robinson was just a mistake. That was a mistake. You know, I guess if I remember correctly, Allen, I think he made a comment about the fans. Allen Robinson, I'll have to go back and Google this, but I believe Allen Robinson said something along the lines of the fans in London support us more than the fans here in Jacksonville. Again, I'll have to go back and look at that again. But something was said. Besides that, man, I mean, he was a pretty stand-up guy, pretty likable guy, in my opinion. They just elected to re-sign Marquise Lee. They let him go. He injured himself, and they let him off to Chicago. Dante Fowler was a turd. Dante Fowler was a bad guy. I mean, he was a massive distraction and went from one problem to another. There's zero defense for Dante Fowler. Not to mention the fact that his football instincts were awful. I mean, some Jaguar fans have... We've seen Andre, and it reminded me of Andre Branch in some ways. There were times you just kind of looked at Andre Branch and it was like, what are you doing, Andre? The ball's the other way. And I know Taven Bryan has gotten lit up for that a couple of times, and a few of those examples have gone viral. But that certainly happened with Fowler. Now, I think you can make the case that maybe they didn't use him the right way. I mean, he did everything at Florida. And they basically asked him to be a one-trick pony here, and Yannick was better. Jalen, we've discussed ad nauseum. You know, you look at all of these situations, and these are all players that the Jaguars drafted, right? High picks, couple of first-rounders, second-rounder, third-rounder. I understand why general managers are now saying that the draft should not be in 2 weeks and 2 days. Because they want to bring these guys into the building. They want to get a better feel for them when it comes to character-related issues. Like, here's one I just got here from the 0956 that says, Ballou, Yannick never wanted to be here. I totally 100% disagree with that. Totally disagree with that. Now, I'm basing this on my own personal meetings with him, covering his entire career as a sideline reporter, doing a radio show with him 2 years ago. You say what you want, but those who listen regularly, you know that I'd never miss OTAs, mini camps, training camps, all access that I get, I take fully advantage of, as a lot of my colleagues do here. It's not like I'm saying I'm the only one. I'm not. But there are some that, you know, not necessarily here. There are some in the media that do as little as possible and certainly comment like they have the know and everything, yet they're never in the locker room. They're never at practice, whatever. I do not believe that with Yannick Ngakoue. I absolutely think he wanted to be here. His opinion. I just think it's a wrong one. Let me see here. Get some of these coming in. Ballou, I'd like to see us move up to take Tua. The Jags are projected to win 6 or 7 games. What could hurt? Well, if they draft Tua, I think the message has been sent. There isn't the confidence in Gardner Minshew. And again, this organization has really surprised me with a lot of moves over the last several years. moves that have backfired. The Blake Bortles extension. The Nick Foles contract. Selecting and re-signing Marquise Lee over Allen Robinson. I mean, you go through a litany of them. This whole Miles Jack extension. That last caller just mentioned, or last texter just said he didn't think Unique ever wanted to be here. They gave him the right numbers last year instead of giving that money to Miles Jack. He would have signed that in a heartbeat. I think too much is made out of really wanting to be somewhere. For these men, an NFL career is so short that they just want to make the most possible money that they can during that time. I'm not going to mention his name, but I've referenced it several times over the years. Remember having an off-the-record conversation with a high-priced free agent who came here and talking about a bunch of different things. And I remember the question was that I asked, I said, what was it about Jacksonville that did it for you? You know, is it the quality of life, the warm weather? Are you a golfer? Are you a fisherman? You like how it's spread out, not a huge... And he looked right at me and he goes, no, bro, it was the money. I was going to go anywhere that paid me the most money. So I said, really? I mean, you would have gone to... to me, like, going to Green Bay would be like a freaking prison sentence. Seriously. There's like an Applebee's and like a Chili's in Green Bay. That would be, and it's, you know, I was in Chicago right next door. At least Chicago is a legitimate city. I mean, it gets dark every day at like 3:34 in the afternoon. It's cold. It's awful. Who in the hell would want to go? Who the hell would want to go to freaking Buffalo? That's like being on parole. Seriously. You're allowed to do your job, but you're on parole to play in a place like Buffalo, New York. Oh, my God. Can you imagine getting drafted and playing in Buffalo? So that was the question I had with this guy. And I remember saying to him, he said, no, bro, it was about the money. I came here because Jacksonville gave him. So I looked right back and I said, so if Buffalo or Green Bay offered you $100,000 more, you would have gone there? Absolutely, he said. So for Unique Ngakoue, if you think that Unique never wanted to be here, I don't agree with that. I think if you paid him what he felt he was worth, he would have signed. And he would have stayed. All right, much more coming up on this. 641-1010. Getting a ton of reaction tonight on the text line. We go this, we'll do it tonight till 10 o'clock right here on the home of the Jags.
Let's go into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, let me take a quick hiatus just for a couple of moments from the Jags. I'll get back to that in a moment. But I'm really disturbed by the latest here with ESPN and Monday Night Football. You heard this one yet, RJ? Talking about Chris Fowler and Kirk Herbstreit as the Monday Night Football combination. And no. I mean, no. Not even close. I mean, those are two that are right now on Mount Rushmore in the world of college football. College is their game. Now, you know, Chris Fowler, I thought, was better on game day than he is as a play-by-play broadcaster. I thought Brent Musburger was much better. But he's still arguably the biggest voice right now in college football. Herbie is getting a little too big in the britches for me. He's very good at what he does. He's actually gotten slightly controversial over the last couple of years, which is a surprise to me because I guess he left Columbus because even though he was born and raised, you know, the Ohio State fans get on with, so he said, screw this, and he moved to Nashville. But he does throw out some things here now every once in a while, and you're like, what is he doing? Like the comment he made about Florida State last year really ruffled a tremendous amount of feathers there. And, you know, he was a guy, a couple of weeks ago, I mean, this country is suffering. And I started the show again tonight by doing what? Reminding you what the PGA Tour has said. Talking about baseball getting underway in May in the state of Arizona. Hell, I even mentioned the Eagles have rescheduled their shows beginning for September. President Donald Trump mentioned over the weekend that he expects the NFL to start on time. I mean, I'm feeding you with, let's get through this. You know, let's do what you're supposed to do. Everyone's telling you in North Florida, in Jacksonville, is way ahead of the curve. Social distancing, cleaning yourself. It's working. The numbers aren't perfect, but they're better than so many other places in our country. So I'm trying to pump positivity into this. You know, I want this going away. I want to get back to watching sports, going to concerts, going to restaurants. I mean, things that I like to do, things that you want to do. Herbie, 2 weeks ago, drops a scud. Oh, there's no way that we can have a college football season if they have a vaccine. It's like, shut up. I mean, for crying out loud, Herbie. There's nothing worse than hearing things like this from the man who is treated like a superstar, and he's talking down to all the fans. Herbie gets the personal Learjet from game day to the game that they're doing, and someone puts on his blue blouse and feathers back his hair, and all the chicks love Herbie, and all the guys want to be with him. Don't drop that comment on us like you did 2 weeks ago. People are licking their freaking wounds. And you, in late March, drop a bomb on the college football community by telling us, I'll be shocked if there's football. I mean, how about trust the doctors? How about trust the scientists? Just shut up. I mean, you know nothing about the coronavirus. Nothing at all. Now, he goes on the Pat McAfee show, and these rumors are out there. You know, Monday Night Football's tried everything. They wanted that dream team that would have, they would have brought over Al Michaels from NBC. They tried to get Tony Romo from CBS. There were rumors that they offered an enormous amount of money to Peyton Manning. Yeah, it's too bad because they never, listen, Mike Tirico was great. Sean McDonough was great. Joe Tessitore and Booger, it hasn't worked. I mean, they should go back to the – I think they'd be good in college. Maybe the set, you know, maybe a third or fourth team in college. Joe Tessitore is just so over the top. And I like Tess. I actually liked him when he was doing the night thing. Remember when it used to be Reese Davis, Mark May, and Lou Holtz at night, RJ, when you had game day? Then it was like the late night game day or game night, whatever they called it.
Oh, yeah, I used to love that.
And then Tessitore took over when, you know, Fowler left to the booth. Reese Davis went to game day, and Tess was doing some night stuff. Thought he was real good with that. I like Tessitore. He's just, you know, it could be a three-yard carry. He plows up the middle for 3 yards. It's now second and seven.
Well, I mean, he does the same thing with boxing sometimes. So
I like Tess. Booger gets crushed. I'm not a hater of Booger McFarland. I actually think we are really blessed with all of the great sports broadcasters that we have in every sport. I mean, people hate Jack Buck. Son Joe Buck. Everyone loved Jack Buck. Joe Buck and John Smoltz on baseball is about as great as anything I've ever heard. Okay, and listen, I go back. I remember listening to Keith Jackson and Howard Cosell. All right, doing baseball. And Joe Gagliola and Tony Kubek. You know, look what's going on right now in hockey with Doc and Eddie Olchuk. Phenomenal if you're a hockey fan. And the NFL and the NBA and college football, we're in a great era. There are tremendous broadcasters out there. So I don't agree with Kirk Herbstreit and Chris Fowler doing double duty here. Now, Herbie goes on the Pat McAfee show and says that he's still going to do game day. He's still going to do the Saturday night game and that he doesn't love the NFL. He'll always be the college guy. So obviously McAfee turns around and says, well, what if they offer him an unlimited amount of money? Of course, Herbstreit kind of took the high road there and said, I'll leave that up to my agent. He's dealing with everything. Well, let me tell you what else, in my opinion, is disappointing. Herbstreit should have offered a no comment. I mean, for crying out loud, he is a colleague of Joe Tessitore. He is a colleague of Booger McFarland. I'm starting to wonder, has Herbie sneezed out his brain cells? Because in the last 2 weeks, he put college football fans in a panic. And now, if there was a game Sunday, Joe Tessitore and Booger McFarland would be on the call. How can Kirk Herbstreit answer this question thoroughly? Let me tell you what the answer should have been. Guys, I'm friends and big fans of Tess and Booger. I've heard the rumors. I really don't know much about it. End of story. I mean, what a jackass. Let's think about that for a moment. I mean, what a real cheap shot. And don't tell me he's not smart enough to know or understand. Come on. It's simple common sense. You don't answer the question. Instead, it becomes viral. It's all over the place. People talking about Pat McAfee's show. Look at Kirk Herbstreit. Leave it alone. If your agent works out a huge deal for you and you double do it, Saturday with the college game, Monday night football, fine. Let ESPN announce it. Let ESPN announce the firing of Tessitore and Booger or the redirection of the Monday night football booth and the fact that Tess and Booger are going elsewhere. You don't sit there and answer that question when your colleagues are hanging by a thread. That's just totally unprofessional. You agree with me? Disagree with me?
I agree 100%.
But then you're a smart man. I don't know. I'm just down on Herbie a little bit. I can't believe he's putting himself ahead of science and ahead of the doctors. And it's just the timing is so awful. And, you know, there are people out there that are so successful and they just don't understand simple common sense. There's no reason for either one of these two stories to have risen. And it's all because this man did not think. Just because you are asked, I get asked questions every night here. And certainly, I'm not trying to compare myself to Kirk Herbstreit. It's a totally different spectrum. Herbstreit is the very best at what he does. He's the top dog color analyst in college football. But he produced massive panic for college football fans way, way, way too soon. Okay, you listen to Greg Sankey, the commissioner of the SEC. You listen to others. They're trying to beat the drum of positivity. Coaches, I had Mike Norvell on. People are trying to do and say the right things. Then you got Herbie shocking everyone. How can you play with no vaccine? Shut up. Let the scientists tell us. Let the doctors tell us. What do you think that athletic directors and presidents and everyone in school aren't aware of this? Shut your mouth. There'll be no football. It's mid-March. And now he doubles down on Booger and Tess. Show some freaking class, man. You're a 50-year-old man. You've been around since 1996. You're not new to the game. Show a little respect for your colleagues. Show a little respect for your company. Just because you're asked the question doesn't mean you have to answer it. There's such thing as the high road. Come on, Herbie. Shake yourself.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Look it up right now. The latest just in. Notre Dame's athletic director stating that he doesn't see games being played this year without fans. Going to ruin Herbie's night. I'm getting a lot of feedback here on Herbie now, going in all sorts of different directions. The 0707 asked me, hey, Ballew, what did Herbstreit say about Florida State? I actually liked what Herbie said about Florida State. Again, I'm not a Herbstreit hater at all. He's always been, the 7 years I was in Chicago, of course, he was always at the Big Ten meetings. I've had numerous conversations with him. I've always liked Kirk Herbstreit. I just think the last couple of things that he has said have been really stupid. But if you go back to early November when, Florida State lost to Miami, this was Herbstreit's quote. And by the way, I like this. I support this quote. During game day, it says game day host Chris Fowler. I thought the game day host was Reese Davis. Maybe it was at some other point. I don't remember. Anyway, Herbie's comments were, quote, I want to get this off my chest. I'm done with Florida State. I don't want to talk about them anymore. I hate the way they represent themselves. Their current roster needs to go back and watch the Bobby Bowden era, because it wasn't all about talking trash and fighting. That's all they do. They're the most undisciplined team you're going to watch, and they're a terrible team. End of quote. I agree with that comment 100%. And I guess the reason why I was asked about that is I was making a point that I've noticed in the last couple of years that Herbstreit is starting to get a little curmudgeonly, starting to get a little angry. And I think it's good. I mean, David Pollack's not going to give you anything. Has Desmond Howard ever picked a road team? I mean, it's such a cookie cutter show. You know exactly what, I mean, Dave Polk's not going to tell you anything you don't know. You know, it's Notre Dame going to USC. Who's the home team? USC. Yeah. Hey, guys, I'm going to take USC. Does Desmond Howard ever pick the road team? So the show's really flattened out. It's not nearly as good as it used to be. Lee's getting up there, Corso in age. They bring this Bear guy on for betting. I mean, he's just freaking terrible. Herbie's actually picked up his game a little bit on game day. He has to. And I agree with this comment 110%. I hated that Florida State team. I hated everything about that Florida State team. They were an embarrassment to that program. Selfish, undisciplined. I hated them. And I asked Mike Norvell about that. How are you going to fix that? That's why I went back and forth. And I hope I didn't. I mean, listen, Norvell didn't like me doubling down on the question about earrings and hoodies in the Moore Athletic Center. I think it's an awful rule. I think it's gonna hurt them more than help them. Florida State's not good enough right now to have those type of rules. They're not a good enough program. And they're not recruiting against Florida and Georgia and Alabama. They're stealing recruits from Louisville. In Arkansas State, in Boston College. But that's that. I hope I'm wrong. Listen, I like everything else Mike Norvell's done. I didn't like that rule, though. Absolutely despise that rule. All right, no news and notes tonight. Brought to you, though, each and every evening by the good friends over at truckcrashlaw.com. If, you know, you hear of a significant injury out on the road because of a truck, tractor trailer, RV, a bus, anything like that, and there's a serious injury, even if it's fatal, it's awful, please get to their family, the name truckcrashlaw.com. It's the only law firm who does that in the entire state of Florida, okay? It is their expertise. It is what they work on. It's the only thing they work on. And it's why they're so good, Joe Camerlengo and his law firm. So take down the name, truckcrashlaw.com. HBO, just a couple of nuggets for news and notes. HBO has announced today that it's going to be a combination of the Chargers and the Rams. So they're actually going to do two at one time because, you know, they're building that new stadium and everything that goes along with it. I don't know how I feel about that. You're going to get a chance to see Jalen. But I almost think that that's too much. I feel like, you know, Hard Knocks is a show that I always have appreciated. I think it's more for kind of like the fringe NFL fan, you know, not the real hardcore fan. Because most people kind of get off on the sidebar stories. And that's the way I've always kind of looked at it. Put it this way. I think Hard Knocks is for the football fan who, during Super Bowl Sunday, is more interested in the commercials than the actual game. That make any sense? You know where I'm going with that? RJ Saunders, huh? You coming with me?
I'm on the same road with you.
So but there's enough storylines every time. How are they going to be able to fit this in with two organizations, you know, during those, what do they have, 4 or 5 one-hour shows? I just think it's a little bit too much, in my opinion. You know, the last part of this that I want to mention before I wrap up with a couple of your emails back on the Jags is Dana White in an island with the UFC is just incredible. I love this. He knows that pay-per-view will be through the roof. And again, how are they going to do it as far as fans there, people there who are next to the fighters? We'll see. But I love the effort here. I love the idea. love the positivity. That's, you know, that's all we can ask for right now as sports fans. Is anything at this point is better than what we have been getting? And you're getting it inside the cage in the UFC. You've gotten it from the PGA Tour. You're getting at least communication now from Major League Baseball. And our president of the United States of America told us over the weekend that the NFL is going to start on time. And I love the fact that NDs, is it still Jack, who's the AD now at Notre Dame? Is it still Jack Swarbuck? I think that is who it is at the University of Notre Dame. Let's see here. It is, yeah, Jack Swarbrick. It's still Jack Swarbrick. All right, he just came out now and says he doesn't see college football without the fans. And, you know, it's not like he ended that saying, I'm like Kirk Herbstreit, I don't think we'll have football this year. He didn't say that. So, you know, these are good things. In an awful time, in during peak week. I mean, it's terrible. Today was like the worst day we've had. And it's going to continue this week, and it's probably going to be around the same next week. Well, I guess the thinking is after next week, things will begin to get a little bit better. And, you know, just for the record, let me see what the latest numbers are. Oh, boy, over 400,000 now. In our country, 12,854 deaths, 21,674 have recovered. Here in the state of Florida, the numbers I have, 296 deaths now, so that has increased significantly over the last couple of days, 14,747 cases. I hate to say it this way, but it, you know, I'm a numbers guy, and I'm always looking at numbers, and I hate to do it in something that is important as lives. But if you – so it's gone over two it, – it's gone now 0.02. Okay, so that's the highest that it's been in the state of Florida. I've been following this forever, and – I think yesterday it was like 1.7, you know, 0.017, and that was a high. Today it's 0.02. That's still way, way, way below the country's percentage and the world's percentage. Now, inside that 0.02, most of the cases are in South Florida. North Florida, the numbers are really good. They're not perfect. I mean, one death is too many. They're not perfect. But they're much better here than they are in other places. And I think there are several reasons to that. I think the hot weather has something to do with it, but I think the people deserve to be credited. You're doing the right things. Social distancing, washing yourself, understanding the rules. You deserve some credit for that. So hopefully these numbers improve. Today's the worst that I've seen, certainly in the United States and as well here in the state of Florida. But without being redundant, the numbers are pretty good for North Florida, considering. I mean, nothing's good. They're better in North Florida. All right. A lot of fun tonight. A lot of great comments from you. Do appreciate it. It's obvious that, you know, on Tuesday night is the later night that I'm on, 8 to 10 on Tuesday. Tomorrow night, 7 to 9. Then every other night, 6 to 8. You know, some would feel that maybe things would be a little bit slower on Tuesday nights because it's later. No way. It's obvious that you as sports fans, you need this. You need a little diversion. You need a little time away from everything else that is going on. So some tremendous feedback tonight. I do thank each and every one of you for coming aboard and being a part of it. RJ Saunders, another banner night by you, young man.
Keep working hard for Rick, man. You know this.
Are you ready to bring it tomorrow at 7?
You already know.
Because we come on after the award-winning Poker Room radio show.
That's a tough act to follow.
It is. But we're going to do our best tomorrow night from 7 to 9. Then we're back Thursday and Friday from 6 to 8. The Sports Den will follow me on all three nights. Folks, for RJ Saunders, I'm the Truth Teller. Rick Ballew, stay safe. We'll talk tomorrow.